My guest at this time is Christy Hamrick. She is a spokeswoman at Americans United for Life. That's a pro-life organization that is reacting to another decision by the Supreme Court this week, just one day after the justices in a 5-3 decision struck down restrictions in Texas as it related to abortion clinics. The court now deciding it will not hear a challenge to a Washington state law that mandates all pharmacies sell abortion-inducing drugs. And Christy, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate you and your show.
At issue here in this specific case, Christy, was a grocery store and pharmacy in Spokane, Washington, known as Ralph's Thriftway. And the family that runs that is a Christian family, and they brought the challenge because they don't want to have to be forced to sell drugs that they believe takes the lives of innocent human beings through the inducing of abortion. What do you make of the Supreme Court deciding it will not even hear this challenge?
Well, I have to agree with Justice Alito, who wrote a very stinging dissent to the decision not to pick up this case, that this bodes ill for religious liberties in America, that what this indicates is that the ruling class and the other members of the Supreme Court in particular are willing to allow the conscience rights of Americans to be violated and obliterated when they don't fit in with their particular political cup of tea. In this case, we see it's not merely that they didn't want to sell these drugs. They're going to be forced to facilitate ending human life through the sale of these drugs. This has implications for medical personnel, doctors, and nurses who do not want to perform abortion. This has implications for people across the country, other pharmacists, other medical professionals. And here's what's important. Americans United for Life filed an amicus brief in this case. We filed similar briefs and similar cases indicating it's not just that they felt that these drugs end life, they do end life. It is medically accurate to say that these drugs work together to destroy potentially unborn human life. If a child has been conceived, this will end that child's life. So it's not a speculation. It's true. And it didn't matter. What we are seeing is the abortion industry moving from choice to coercion. They are going to force you to end life and force you to pay for the ending of life. And I think it's interesting that following the Texas case on Monday and then this today, I've seen a number of abortion advocates talking about the fact that what they want now is full funding of abortion. It won't be enough to make you do it. It won't be enough to make you comply with it. It won't be enough to have it in your health care. Now we are going to have to pay for it and provide it and export it. These are chilling days indeed.
The Washington state law, I believe, is the most extreme of its kind. Most other states allow pharmacies to refuse if they have a conscience conflict with the issue. And oftentimes the pharmacy will simply say, we won't do it. You might want to check with such and such pharmacy down the road. And apparently that's exactly what the people in Washington state did. The only difference is in Washington state, what they did was still against the law. So given that the Supreme Court won't even hear the challenge to this, do you expect this fight to go into all these other states as well?
Well, this has to go into other states. I'm sorry to say, and to people of faith and people of conscience, because obviously people have a respect for human life based on many deeply held beliefs, this must go on, and it will have to go on. It makes the fight for another Supreme Court justice very severe because, again, they were just trying to get a vote today to hear the case, and they didn't have enough people to say, let's talk about it. And Alito obviously weighed in heavily, saying we should have taken this case. Whether or not our government can make us do something if we don't want to, something that's not about national security, but about what you prefer, this is a severe and significant issue. And in this case, people who do not want to sell life-ending drugs are being forced to do that. But it doesn't stop there. We are all at the whims of the government. If the government can say, we like a certain point of view, you must do it and you must pay for it. That's significant.
What do you make of Justice Kennedy the past 2 days? He's clearly did not want to hear this case. And yesterday he was silent in siding with the majority that struck down provisions such as having abortion providers needing to have admitting privileges and abortion clinics meeting the same safety regulations as outpatient surgical centers. What do you make of his performance on this issue over the past couple of days?
A lot of the attorneys at Americans United for Life feel that Justice Kennedy was trying to distance himself from his clear record on the life issue, but that's just not going to work. Silence in this case gave consent to a horrific decision. Now, there is a takeaway. I mean, we are obviously at Americans United for Life. We're not going to give up. There are going to be more pro-life laws. But one of the things that the court said, and again, I find it personally disingenuous, but one of the things that they said is, well, you need to have more information and more legislative findings to prove that you need these laws. Now, what's offensive about that is in the past, the court has respected legislators and respected the legislative process. And said, well, if the legislators in real time saw a need for the law, we accept that. What in this case, they're saying we don't accept that. We want to see more proof. Well, we in the pro-life movement are going to pick up that gauntlet and run with it. And this is what I think is ironic about that. The abortion industry has survived by denying that an unborn life is being killed, by trying to hide the details of what happens to women, by keeping inspectors out of abortion clinics. Their whole business model involves secrecy. And what the court said is, we're going to need more information if we're going to accept a pro-life law. Well, game on. We in the pro-life movement, we are going to accept that challenge, and I think they're going to regret that high standard of evidence.
Let's talk about the religious liberty question a little bit more. And you did address it early on in our conversation about where you believe Democrats and others on the left want to go, particularly on this issue. What do you see beyond even the repeal of the Hyde Amendment on their agenda? Where do they want to go when it comes to religious liberty or lack thereof, do you think?
Well, I think it's very clear that the abortion industry and activists on the left intend to make it illegal for you to oppose their point of view, intend to require you to pay for their point of view. I could see them reaching into houses of worship, trying to say you may not speak from a pro-life perspective. I could see them reaching into, obviously, we've got nuns in courts fighting for the right not to buy birth control that they do not wish to use. So it is going to get ugly, and I think that it will go up to this point. What's been interesting is a lot of the lawsuits have focused on cases that involved private institutions or nonprofits that have a faith perspective. So we have the Little Sisters of the Poor who are trying to help the elderly and mentally ill elderly provide care and love. I suspect that they're going to reach into houses of worship directly. Up to this point, there has been a separation between attacks against actual houses of worship, the Catholic Church head on, maybe the Baptist Conference head on. It is their desire to make it illegal for us to hold a different point of view on life and to force us to pay for it. Up to this point, they've been dancing around the edges of the world of Christians and people of faith who are involved in charitable efforts and trying to make them pay. Or in the world of Christians like Hobby Lobby, who have a business, but they happen to be Christians, such as these pharmacists that we were talking about earlier. With this kind of momentum, I would expect them to try to go after houses of worship directly.
Amazing. Christy, we'll have to call time there. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. So, thank you for having me.
Christy Hamrick is a spokeswoman at Americans United for Life. For more information on that organization, go to aul.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.